distortion.
Welcome to the podcast, Appetite for Distortion, episode number 447. With me sometimes, as my name is Brando, this is my co-host, Baby Brownstone. My wife, maybe she just got home. She could take him, maybe, because I was excited. I couldn't pass up this opportunity to interview Zach Myers and Brent Smith from Shinedown. He can't even contain himself.
I'm excited so for
I was going to say, like, don't take the kid away.
That's the show stealer right there.
This is the show stealer
right there.
Attaboy.
Well, he sees mommy.
Oh, but he sees mommy.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
He's like, get me out of here, man.
I've never felt anything more than that right there.
Well, I appreciate you guys coming on today.
Yeah, it's our absolute pleasure. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, you got it. I mean, that's part of the deal of this podcast is just babies, and it's just all these different themes. But I transition to kind of go back to when you were little Brent, little Zach. Did you foresee this kind of career ahead of you? Could you imagine, you know, all these number one singles on the radio and just the career that you've had when you guys were, you know, obviously not that age. You weren't really thinking much at that age, but when you were younger.
I think that we could imagine the career. I don't think we could ever imagine the success and the longevity. I think that that's something that we always wanted to do and knew that we were going to do, especially him and I, because we don't know how to do. We have no trade skills whatsoever.
We may not have any trade skills. We're hard workers.
Yeah, we're hard workers. Though. We're never afraid to be the hardest workers in the room, but it's like we never had a backup plan. It was never like, well, if this doesn't work out, I'm going to go do X, you know? And so I think that we always envisioned the career, but the longevity and the success have come as a massive surprise and something we're very appreciative of.
And certainly well-deserved. I mean, ever since I've been in rock radio, Shinedown has been a part of it. So, of course, with this new record, Planet Zero, it's par for the course with you guys. Four number one singles. You guys have the most number one singles charts in rock history, according to both Billboard and Mediabase. So I guess the question is, when does Shinedown get in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? When is that going to happen?
We're eligible.
I mean, you can't argue with the facts.
We're eligible in 28, but I don't know. I mean, you know, listen, there's bands from the 70s and 80s that aren't in there that I think should very much be in there. So I don't know. Watch us. Here's the thing. We've never been nominated for a Grammy this far in and this many number ones in. Watch us get in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame year one. Wouldn't that make the most sense of anything ever if, like, we've never been nominated for a Grammy or anything else, but we get in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame the first year we're eligible?
I would be all down.
Yeah, I'm down for it.
Like, I mean, let's go.
Yeah, I think that would be hilarious.
100%. Let's go. I mean, the whole thing about that is you hear not necessarily negative stories or horror stories about that whole induction process, but at the end of the day, our number one boss in this band, we have one boss. It happens to be everybody in the audience. So, I mean, that's who we care about.
We get our Grammy and our Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nomination every night when we walk on stage and there's 13,000 people out there, you know? That's my Grammy.
That. Heartfelt. I enjoy it.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, we wouldn't, you know, we'd be happy to have the honor, but it's not something that you just got to keep your head up and keep moving forward.
Yeah, we don't let it motivate us, that's for sure.
I could tell that just from following you guys for over these years. It's just one of those things that got me thinking with the Rock Hall of Fame, and they always use excuses. Well, this person had these amount of hits and this and that. I mean, Shinedown has just been consistently, you know, consistent in at the top of their game.
Absolutely.
So just, I didn't know if it ever crossed your minds. You know, one of the new songs, if you haven't been able to tell, I mean, other than Babies, I have other themes to this podcast.
Yeah.
Appetite for Distortion, Guns N' Roses themed.
Yes.
Because everyone and their mother has a podcast, but I want to be a little different. And it works out perfectly because I usually use a 6 degrees of GNR Bacon to make connections. But one of your 6 degrees is pretty obvious. If you have the new record, A Symptom of Being Human, the lyrics, Miss November Rain. I can still remember me and Miss November Rain. I'm wondering if you could talk about that song, and is it safe to assume that was inspired by GNR, at least that lyric?
It was inspired by the idea of kind of going back in your mind of those moments that are nostalgic to you, remembering like simpler times or reminiscing on things that put you in a good headspace. And for me, I remember that song being something that it's so epic. And I still remember when I was a kid and hearing that song for the first time, as young as I was when that came out, it kind of became like a bit of a Bohemian Rhapsody for me at that time. So the song isn't necessarily inspired by this the song November Rain, but that line is more about thinking of a simpler time, almost like a security blanket in a lot of ways. Because A Symptom of Being Human is ultimately, it's a song about understanding that we want people to live to fight another day and that we're all a work in progress. And on top of that, you know, there's a dynamic that we live in a world that is very complicated and difficult to navigate. Especially with social media and the fact that everybody has a platform now and what have you. But I always tell my son, who's 16 years old now, when it comes to social media and those aspects, I say to him, remember, you're in control of the device. The device doesn't need to be in control of you. And more than anything, that song, I think that we needed it as a band. I think that the public is embracing it because we've had so many people come up to us and tell us that song is a reset button for them. Like, it kind of calms their nerves and it kind of gives them a bit more of an open floor to kind of look at the world and find the beauty in the world and not so much the negativity.
I mean, that's just an incredible message, and that's something that I kind of live by, and I appreciate that kind of indirect advice. As you saw, my 10-month-old, it's going to take a few years to get up to catch up to your son, but just to, what kind of advice can I give him? Because he's growing up in a world.
Yeah.
I mean, I grew up without cell phones.
Yeah.
You know, it's somewhat new to me, and it's going to be interesting to kind of navigate that. So
it's how you balance it.
Yeah.
It really is how you balance it.
Yeah, I've got three boys, 7, 5, and 6 months. So, I mean, for me, like, you know, they're outside kids. You know, they love fishing, and my oldest son grows his own garden and plants his own garden and tills his own garden and does all these things. But every once in a while, he'll want to get on an iPad, and I think that's okay. I think it's just like protecting them early from what they see and certain things like that. Obviously, when they get older, you can't really control that as much. But yeah, I think it's, you know, I've learned as a parent, every piece of like generic advice anyone's ever given you is true. All of it. Everyone's like, it goes by too fast. You're like, I don't think so. And you're like, yeah, it does. And like, you've never known love like this before. Oh yeah, you're right. Like, so all these things are, I tell people who are becoming parents, I'm like, man, every stupid thing anybody's going to tell you, there's truth in all of it.
But it does go by quickly.
Yeah.
Like, my son is 16 and he's 6'2".
Yeah.
And we're
not 6'2" by any stretch. 6'2". So,
oh, you know, man. Like you look, you know, I look up to my son, literally. So, yeah. And, but I wouldn't have it any other way. And here's the other thing, too. There's not an instruction manual to being a parent. There's really not. Yeah. All you can do is try to do the best that you can. I think no matter what, teach them to work hard and teach them to be honest.
Yeah.
Those are the two main things.
Yeah, and he's going to have documented footage of him trying his best to interview rock stars.
Yeah! And,
hell yeah.
Bring
absolutely.
It on.
Yeah, so, Zach, I just want to say congrats, because you're also knee-deep in it with 6 months, and my son is 10 months.
Yeah,
I mean,
man.
That's crazy.
This is my third time going through it, though. So,
and Brent, I mean, I'm 5'6". I'm sure my son.
I'm barely 5'8".
Yeah, we're 5'8".
Okay, he'll be taller than me.
He'll be 7 feet tall. Yeah, he'll be like, how did this happen? You know,
I can't wait to buy his NBA jersey. It's gonna be great.
I love that. One quick question, because I know you guys got to get out of here. Any chance of another Myers and Smith EP?
You know, it seems to be the hot question right now.
1,000%.
We'll do it again,
yeah,
for sure.
We'll definitely do it again.
That's a creative outlet that we need, I feel like. And and honestly, it's like it connects with people so much, I think. And I take no part in the responsibility of it connecting with people, because there's something about his voice in one instrument that stands out so well. That's kind of why the Simple Man thing worked back in the day. So we will for sure do it again when the time is right.
It's not just the voice, it's not just the guitar, but it's you as people. And I really thank you for getting to know you guys for at least a few minutes today.
Thank you very much.
I
always see clips of your podcast on Blabbermouth all the time. So
Oh, thank you. Hey, the clickbait's not my fault.
No, it's all good.
No, hey, buddy, listen. No, they've clickbaited me more than anyone ever, so.
Shout out to Blabbermouth.
Yeah. Owned by our label, by the way.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, man.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you.
That was fun. I did not expect to interview, if you can believe it or not, Shinedown. I wanted to for a long time, but then it just never, I don't know, I just never really got anywhere. And as I mentioned, why it was, you know, if you're familiar with this podcast, why sometimes I do short interviews. They come through my actual radio job, and sometimes I get an opportunity. So my boss is like, Shinedown's coming in. Do you want to interview them? Can you find it? You want to find out if anything is connected to Guns N' Roses? I think we could fit you into the schedule. And I was like, yeah. Yeah, I will do that. He's like, all right, how about this? How about this band, Devour of the Day? He's like, find out if they have any Guns N' Roses connections. You can interview them too. Well, okay, sure. So since they're short interviews, let's put them together for a full episode. So Devour of the Day, you may have known them as Egypt Central at one point. So let's invite, and just so you know, for this portion, I recorded it before Shinedown. And that was when Baby Brownstone was a little bit better behaved. He actually survived with me throughout the entire interview. So enjoy me and Baby Brownstone interviewing Devour the Day.
Who's guys. This?
Hey, guys. Well, hey, Blake. Hey, Joey. This is Harrison. Harrison Rex.
Hello, Harrison.
This is what it's like to be a work from home dad.
I love it.
Joey knows all about.
Yes, sir.
From home.
Because we'll get into that. Because my wife's bringing in the car. I'm interviewing you guys. Hopefully, he contains himself. Maybe he'll say his first word. Maybe he'll say "Devour the Day" and maybe his first three words. So, if you can, I guess to kind of do a segue. How did this project birth? How did you come to be with Devour the Day? Because of course it used to be Egypt Central, but now you're combining both bands. Can you kind of explain how this kind of whole project came to be and this new single with the AI video?
I think that in the beginning, this will come full circle as to why we've decided to be independent. I think that when we were a younger band as Egypt Central, we were right in the thick of the music industry, especially within the rock industry, and the way that things were run and the way that a band gets signed, the deal is presented as pretty much like an ultimatum. If you want a future and you just take it regardless of what it's doing to you. But the reason why I mentioned that is that that structure, that system really after 10 years took its toll on Egypt Central. And for whatever reason, it's complicated, but the band dissolved because of that pressure, in my opinion, because of a structure that wasn't rewarding us the way that we felt, not even financially, just emotionally, that we wanted to be rewarded as artists, and we weren't having the same connection with our community. So the band broke up, and out of that birthed Devour of the Day. We, Blake and I, as songwriters, had written a large portion of the Egypt Central music, a lot of which when we were writing, Blake would already have sung, and then John would come in and emulate what Blake had done. So it felt very natural to just keep writing the way we were writing and then just move Blake from drums to singing, which wasn't easy. He could tell you. that was a crazy challenge, and watching my best friend go through that gave me a new respect for vocalists all the way through. And that comes full circle as to how we treat John now. Fast forward, Devour has his first top 10 hit with Good Man and kind of just bursts us into a second band. But I still think working within the structure of the typical music industry, that same kind of pressure, that same kind of forcing of like, oh, you got the single, let's rush the rest of the songs, or this is the tour we want you to do, we don't care if you haven't been home in 3 months, and all that kind of stuff that just takes its toll on the artist. It did on Devour the Day as well. And then you know, we were in the middle of a single, our label got absorbed. All of a sudden there's, you know, no one to help the band. It's just the same system over and over again. And then the pandemic hit. And I think that at that point we were like, we're done with this. The whole world started over. At least for this section, we're going to take back control. And so we really poured into independence and education, learning everything, every facet of the funnels of how we were making money, how things were going on. And in that process, started our own label, A Window In Records, started releasing music from both bands. And I think that the real power of what we have always goes back to our community, our fan base, their response to those songs, the millions of streams we've been able to accrue as a label over the last 2 or 3 years, coming to like 70 million streams on 5 or 6 songs. It's just, it's clear, as much as we want to believe it's something we're doing, it's our fan base and their devotion to this community that has allowed us to have that. And so, full circle, Nobody Owns Me is this top of the mountain, as it were, of the last few years of us building this label and having the opportunity to do something that other people can't do. Not even, you know, I've said it before, not even Corey Taylor can put Slipknot and Stone Sour on the same record, on the same stuff, because of record labels and stuff like that. It's tied up. So to be able to show that we have control of our bands and that we have control of our future was really something important. We felt it made us unique. And that's where Nobody Owns Me kind of births out of. Is that desire to almost say to our community, thank you, you've helped us do it. We've reached this place. And it's also kicking open the doors on the future, which is still wide open.
I mean, that's pretty heavy. I mean, you just want to make music and it's this whole industry, right?
You just nailed it. Yeah. Nailed it.
That's what it's all about. You just want, I mean, I certainly don't relate as much as you do, because that's why I'm in radio. I don't have any musical talent. But there, you know, when I've been on the radio, and the machine of radio is so different than doing a podcast and letting it be yourself. And it's kind of, it is scary to go out there and do it out, you know, by yourself and not have the machine behind you. But you mentioned scary. So it wasn't a natural transition from drums to singing. You're not naturally Phil Collins or Dave Grohl or anything like that.
I would really like to be, but it was like,
that's for other people to say.
Yeah. That's for me. That's for you to say. I think switching over to being a singer, certainly it was like, great. I don't have to load these drums in anymore. That's great. I don't have to tear them down, but really it's all music, you know, like it's all still the same kind of performance. You know, it's all rhythm based, melody based. It all feels like the same dance. However, learning a brand new instrument while you're, you know, scheduled to go play 40,000 people festival, that's like probably the most terrifying spot. But I seriously am surrounded by the absolute best people when it comes to just supporting me and pushing me and keeping me motivated. And my best friend is also a band. So, you know, like when he can tell that I'm super stressed out, he will literally go to everybody around me and be like, Blake is stressed out. So you need to be very, very cautious. Don't buy a lot. I do have a really great support system that has helped me transition over there and made me feel really good about it all the way through.
He works his butt off.
Right on. I respect that. And in addition to just wanting to play the music, I mean, just wanting to play music with your friends, I mean, and have all this excess in there.
I truly get it. I mean, we had a conversation, I think two or maybe a year before the pandemic hit, about, you know, it was like a very real conversation where we asked each other, like, what do you want to do? What do you want to do every day when you wake up? And we both said, honestly, we just want to create, you know. And I think it's actually, I feel really lucky that we live in a time where streaming came around, where this has given us this independence. The example you said is really, really hitting home for me. The difference of trying to deal with syndicated radio and then having the freedom of your own podcast. That's almost the identical feeling of what we've been able to do. And to see our podcast grow the way it has, of the community that's built around that, It's flattering. It's empowering, and we have a lot of gratitude for those people.
And so with that, as our engineer Mike, my coworker is laughing that his radio name, by the way, Harrison Rex is his real name, but it's Baby Brownstone. That's his radio.
Baby Brownstone.
Baby Brownstone. Because if you haven't been able to tell by the name of the podcast and my posters behind me. So with the creativity of that, with the podcast, instead of just being the Brando show or just another rock show, I have a Guns N' Roses theme. So anything with a 6 degrees of connection to Guns N' Roses. So I'm just curious, you know, as we have a few minutes left here, if either of you are either of you fans, have you either seen them in concert, favorite songs, anything that, you know, Guns N' Roses related that you might have under, you know, under your belt.
So the first record that Egypt Central made in 2001, Slash was, I don't know, was it a solo project?
No, it was Velvet Revolver.
It was Velvet Revolver. Okay. The artist that came into that studio to record before us was Slash. And it had just happened the day before that we were in there. So the first day that we're in there, the guys are still kind of reeling about this while we're, you know, getting in and meeting everybody. And they start talking about, like, in a sidebar conversation, can you believe that he got up on top of the soundboard? So a studio, obviously a soundboard is like that's like $500,000, maybe even more, just sitting right there. And apparently the way that he likes to do his solos is he likes to blast the music as much, you know, in front of the guitar to create, you know, just to create the feeling of standing in front of a real amp. And the only way to do that was to stand on top of the console. So they were talking about that. We were like,
that is the most rock and roll thing of all time. Put up on the console while engineers are like, why are you touching that? And he's just like, I don't care.
Yeah. that's probably the closest.
But that's what I look for. Those random 6 degrees of stories. I mean, that's funny. He's known for standing on pianos and going out in front of churches. The fact that he does that in his normal day to day life, he needs to be on something grand is pretty special.
I wonder if he watches football like standing on his coffee table.
Yeah,
with a guitar. With a guitar.
Nice job.
I love it. Well, Blake, Joey, this was a pleasure. Thank you for dealing with Baby Brownstone. Thankfully, he wasn't
Baby Brownstone.
He wasn't too crabby. I was afraid it's either like he's gonna cry or pull out a cord. So I was afraid he was gonna disconnect us halfway through. But no, it's good. It all worked out.
He likes the power of the day.
Yeah, so we're going to about to devour this bottle. See what I did there?
Yeah.
So I hope we get to do this again, guys. You take care.
Thank you. Stay in touch.
I just love these random Guns N' Roses stories that you find out from different artists. This band, it's not like I was going to interview somebody from the Guns N' Roses world where there's a lot of, you know, the connections. But that's just a random story that they're going to remember for the rest of their lives that they used a studio after Slash, and he was standing up on the mixing board. Engineers, they do not like that stuff at all. You know, I've worked with engineers, no food, no drink anywhere near the board. It's got to be, it's sacrilege, you know, millions of dollars. These things, these equipment, you can ruin millions of dollars worth of equipment. But I guess if it's Slash, it's okay. It's okay. So I hope you enjoyed these two interviews with today in this episode with, of course, Shinedown and Devour the Day. What is next for Appetite for Distortion? Well, I got some buns in the oven, I guess. Well, I'm not pregnant again. But I got fuels in the fire. Some names coming back to the podcast that when I first interviewed a couple names that are going through my brain, and I don't want to spoil them just yet, that it was over the phone. These were pre-COVID interviews before I started doing Zoom interviews. So hopefully these two work out. And if you enjoyed them the first time, just the audio version, we'll get video versions of these, of some interviews. And also, just keep a lookout. We're going to start seeing promos for this, for the Appetite for Distortion website. all these years. I've been wanting to do one. You'll probably get annoyed, but the amount of times that I thank G. Hall from Iowa's Life, you know, who did the Izzy Stradlin, Dustin Bones documentary. I've just needed somebody to kind of work with to help me with this, because I just couldn't do it myself, and it just materialized. And like, yeah, we can do this year. Oh, you know what? I will tell you, one interview is coming up, and you know, and anything can happen. Knock on wood, it shouldn't get canceled. But I got a guess that the Zoom link is sent out. Scotto is going to return for my co-host for that one, so he should be a little bit more well behaved than Baby Brownstone. But we got Jess Margera of CKY. We've wanted to get him on the podcast for a while. So when I was able to book him, I said to Scotto, I'm like, you're meant to be on this episode. Let's do it. So one of many upcoming Appetite for Distortion interviews that are going to be a lot of fun to listen to. So as I always mention, conversation continues on social media, Appetite for Distortion on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. Email me at theafdshow@gmail.com. Follow and subscribe on YouTube. So even when there aren't new episodes out, I'm always cutting up highlights, things that get thousands and thousands of views from interviews that I did years ago, and I just make 1-minute videos of it, and people forget about it, or it just creates conversation. So YouTube pages is always active, probably more active than the podcast, and I would say that we're pretty active as we slowly but surely approach our way towards 500. It's not yet, but I see it on the horizon, 500 episodes of AFD. So stick around for all that. When will you see these new interviews, all right? So in the words of Axl Rose concerning Chinese democracy, I don't know if soon is the word, but you'll see it. No! Fuck it! No! Yeah!
Thanks to the lame-ass security, I'm going home.